The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and he was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of us at some point in our lives have been judged before by others? Well, some of us it's blatantly obvious. Sometimes it's not, but we feel that way. But I remember in my first call, I remember this one particular phone call I received this one afternoon. But before the phone call, I must share one of my favorite safe places, as I might call it, one of my places of sanity. Was going down to the local motorcycle shop of a couple miles outside of town, and that's where I found my sanity because of the community that was always at the shop, the guys that were there. They always had a Budweiser in their hand. They had more tattoos than I have, and they would tell jokes that we can't share from the pulpit. We'll put it that way. But it was also a place where we just sat around working on motorcycles, spinning wrenches, which was nice. I enjoyed doing that. And of course, the owner of the shop, his name was Vic, he said, "Pastor, if you're willing to change tires and change oil on bikes from time to time, I won't charge you anything for your own personal maintenance." Sounds like a deal to me. Amen? Amen, right? But I remember on this one particular afternoon, here I am at the church, and I get this phone call from a lady in my congregation. She said, "Pastor Craig, I just want you to know that I pray for you often." Sounds like an interesting way to start a phone call, amen? So, well, I appreciate your prayers. And she said, "Well, I worry about you from time to time, Pastor. I mean, I know that you hang out down at the motorcycle shop, And I just want to make sure that you stay on the right path." I now see where this phone call is going, and I'm now intrigued. I said, "Really? Well, please tell me a little more of why you're concerned." And she says, "Well, you know, the guys down there, they're a little rough around the edges." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, and I imagine that the language they use and the jokes they share probably are, you know, it's tough stuff to listen to from time to time." I said, "Okay." And she said, "And the posters on the wall in the shop, and you know, I mean, it's just," I chuckled and I said, "Well, I find it really curious that you know what posters are on the wall in their shop." She goes, "Well, what's that supposed to mean, Pastor?" I said, "It means that you've apparently been there." She goes, "That's besides the point." And I said, "I'm not so sure it is." By the end of the call, she wanted me to understand that she was concerned that I was going to go off the deep end by being guilty by association with people that, quite frankly, she really didn't know very well. My sense of community, my sense of Christian community, was more certain and solid in the walls of that motorcycle shop more often than any other place in the community on a regular given basis. But yet we're judged for it. And our story today and last week, if you remember, we were talking about the tax collectors. versus the Pharisees. Last week, you guys remember the story, the Pharisee and the tax collector walk into the temple, and they go off into their separate corners in the space, and they begin to pray. And we remember that the Pharisee, his prayer was something along the lines of, "Dear Lord, I am grateful that I am not like the other sinners, like that tax collector over there. I am grateful that I've lived my life with the rules. I've abided by the rules. I am in good standing with you, Lord, and I give 10th of my money to the church. Lord, I'm grateful that I'm doing this." And if you guys remember last week, we did talk about the fact that the Pharisee is righteous, right? It's the word, it was the language used in the gospel. He's righteous, and the truth is, he is righteous because he's following the rules. He's following the cultural norm. He's following the practice of the temple. However, we were all in agreement by the end of the sermon that it's probably not the best, most humble thing to enter into prayer quite like that. Amen? Amen. But we did talk about the tax collector. And the tax collector himself, who comes, he's standing in the back corner of the temple, and his prayer was, "Dear Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Amen." And we talked about this reality in that parable that Jesus says he is the one that walks away justified. He's justified because he's the one that comes to God, asks God for help, acknowledges that God is the only one that can give him peace, God is the only one that really truly can forgive him, and try to help him make changes in his life. And that is why Christ says he's justified. And the justification comes from who? It doesn't come from the priests or the Levites. It doesn't come from the neighbors, because we know the neighbors, the Pharisee being one of them, is already looking down upon him. Still, justification comes from who? God and God alone. Amen? But there again, it was a complex story, because it doesn't mean that if you're justified or righteous, one is better than the other. What we did talk about is that God is the leveling agent. God is the one that brings us all into the same playing field and brings back that statement, a sin is a sin, right? But how we view our lives and how we walk our lives and where we search for our forgiveness, where we search for our new beginnings, Jesus points out that God must be at the center of that. So here we enter in today's gospel story. Today, once again, last week was a parable. Last week was Jesus giving an example, a lesson, a moral of the story type test, right? This week is not a parable, it's a story that happens. So Jesus is coming from the north, he's coming down into Jericho, it's a hot, dry place, love to take some of you there sometime, it's a glorious place, the Dead Sea is right down below that. He comes into the community, comes into town, and some people, the word on the street is who this Jesus guy is, and some people really want to meet him. They go rushing down to the curb, it's almost like a parade on the 4th of July in Fort Pierre, amen? Minus the candy and the squirt guns. I don't know what it is about the squirt guns. Like, we should have a temperature cutoff. You know, the last 2 years for the 4th of July parade have actually not been that hot. I don't want to get blasted by a super soaker when it's chilly outside. Amen? Anyways, back to the story. There's no super soakers or candy as far as I know in the biblical story. They come rushing down to the curb. They come rushing down to the parade route. And so does Zacchaeus. But let's pause there, because Zacchaeus is not favored. Zacchaeus is not the neighbor that we necessarily want to stand next to. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because it kind of puts a little bit of judgment upon us. But I imagine for each of us, we have a neighbor or a coworker or maybe a family member that we really, really don't want to stand next to on a parade route. Amen? We really don't want to sit with them on our lunch breaks. We really don't want to gather with them on a family gathering, so to speak. And it comes for whatever reason it might be. For Zacchaeus' reason, it's because of his job. For Zacchaeus, as we talked a little bit about last week, a tax collector, Jewish people did not collect taxes for Jewish sake. Yes, they tithed to the temple. They gave to the temple. They sacrificed to the temple. But they didn't give up taxes to Jerusalem and Jericho community propers. The reason why he was a tax collector is because the Roman army conscripted him to be a tax collector on their behalf. So he is a Jewish man going and knocking on his Jewish neighbor's doors, asking for their money on behalf of the Roman army who has occupied them. Not really a great community member in stature. Amen? Would you like it if I... No, I'm not going to give that illustration. We have an idea of what that is, but we also know that tax collectors have this little practice of saying, Chris, you owe $10, when maybe you only owed $8, but you're going to pay $10, or I'm going to go get the Roman guys to come settle up with you, so you're still going to give me the $10, $2 go in my pocket, $8 goes to Rome. Amen? We don't like that. And this is Zacchaeus' reality at this point. Yet, when Jesus comes to town and everyone goes running to that parade route, Zacchaeus does too. He is excited, and we don't know why. He takes off in a foot race, he heads on down to the street corner, and there are the neighbors. And what is he met by? He's met by no spot on the curb. They push him aside, they shove him aside, they're scowling at him, they're talking behind his back, and he knows it, he feels it, so much so that he goes to the tree down in the corner and climbs a tree. And he's up in that tree, and Jesus comes on by, and his disciples are with him, and he stops, and he looks up into the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I imagine, for a brief moment in time, every single one of those people on the curb took notice that God in the flesh just called this sleazeball by name. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that God in the flesh actually knows his name, and not only knows his name, but tells him to come down, and then says, I want to eat dinner with you tonight? Now, before we get further there, we have to understand that in Jesus' time, in the biblical story, to eat a meal with someone is one of the most intimate transactions you can have. It's not as simple as, hey, I want to go to the Branding Iron Bistro for lunch with you today. Can we do that? Let's pencil it in, Gmail it in, and let's send out that reminder and do it. That's not how things work. It wasn't like, hey, let's go to Red Rosa for dinner this evening, which we do as a social gathering. This was something, when you had a meal with someone, with a guest, it was incredibly important, incredibly intimate. And so God in the flesh looks up, he calls him by name, he says, come down, and says, I want to have dinner with you. Do you think that took off, do you think that story got around town really quick? You bet it did. But God sees Zacchaeus. God knows what's on Zacchaeus' heart. God knows what's on Zacchaeus' mind. The community is certainly judging him, but so has God. So has Jesus. And his judgment at this point in the story is, I want to have a meal with you. And Zacchaeus comes down and he's excited. But we hear the community say, what is he doing with that sleazeball? What is he doing with that sinner? He's going to go eat dinner with a sinner? What I will say is this. The God we encounter through Jesus Christ is not the God that we expect. I'll say that again. The God we encounter through Christ is not the God that we expect. What I love about this story is that Zacchaeus has this moment. As everyone else is grumbling, as the ladies call on the pastors, expressing their concerns because of posters on the wall, as fill in the blank, whatever that experience was for you, Jesus says, I know you, I know what's on your heart, I know what's on your mind, and I want to talk about it. I want to have a conversation. And so they head off to dinner. We don't know what all the conversation was, but what we do know is Zacchaeus says, Jesus, I will give. I want to pause there. In the Greek, we've another moment in time in which we've mistranslated. We always say that Zacchaeus is doing his penance. We always make the story sound like Zacchaeus has this great change of heart and he's now going to do his penance and give back everything four times fold, right? That's exactly what it says. The problem with that is it's not accurately translated. It's not the future tense. It's not Zacchaeus saying, I will. It's Zacchaeus saying, I am. He's looking at Jesus. He's already had this change of heart and change of mind. We don't know the reason why he ran down the street, but what I do know is that in that encounter with God, in that moment, Zacchaeus says, Jesus, I need you to understand, I am giving everything back. And I'm giving everything back four times full. God changes Zacchaeus, and believe it or not, Zacchaeus is in the process of changing every single one of those neighbors that he was trying to stand on the curb next to. Zacchaeus makes a promise with God that he's giving all of that back times four. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, they might forgive Zacchaeus? Unfortunately, money speaks. Amen? Amen. We don't know what's going on in the story. We don't know how complicated it is. But what we do know is that every single person, when we have that encounter with God, the God we experience through Christ, the God we experience in Christian relationship with loved ones, the God we experience in that moment of invitation when we never thought we were worthy of an invitation, the God we experience in Christ is a God that we didn't expect. But that God came to Jericho, and that God changed a life, who's in the process of changing many other lives. That's something we think about today. Today, when you go home, think about maybe where you might experience God or where you have experienced God this week, and ask yourself, did it make sense? You might be surprised how God is working in your life. Thanks be to God. Amen.